we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button right down there. Getting very close to 16K subscribers here. So we are coming off of yet again another winning show. I was a Jalen Hurts interception away from a clean 5-0 sweep, but it wasn't to be. I went 4-1, but I will take that any day of the week. So we're going to try to bring that winning energy right into Monday Night Football. A pretty good looking primetime football game. It seems like it's been a while, but we have the Dallas Cowboys looking to bounce back. They are in Los Angeles taking on the Chargers. Jason Logan will be along shortly to break that down with me. We have four total bets for that game. Then in the second half of the show, Brad Powers will be here to take a look at some of the big storylines coming out of the weekend from college football, and also looking ahead to some of his best bets for the upcoming week. Before we get into everything, guys, if you like the show, it's very easy to let us know. Hit the like button right down there. Hit that subscribe button. I'll tell you once again. And some big news here at Before You Bet. Producer Mick informed us that he bought some new bedding over the weekend. That was his big takeaway from the weekend. So congrats to Mick for his new bedding. So some very exciting stuff happening here on the show. Okay, let's bring in my first guest here, Jason Logan. I know he was very excited to hear the story about Mick's new bedding. J-Lo, let's start with this. I'm gassed from yesterday. The London game right up until the end of what turned out to be kind of an interesting Sunday Night Football game, at least from a betting perspective. So I'm going to throw this at you. A couple weeks ago, I told you I wasn't a big fan of the Monday Night Football doubleheader. I said it's too much. Three London games in a row, all with the 10:30 Eastern start time. I think it's too much. I like the London game, but I think they got to spread them out. I'm a family guy. I got to get all my ducks in a row on a Sunday before I sit down to watch 7 hours of commercial-free football, followed by the Sunday night game. Now, I'm not saying I don't like the London game, but I think three in a row is too much. I would love for them to spread them out. What do you think of that take?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I think I like the international games. It's a different approach and a different way to pitch the game internationally. We've got some Germany games, I believe, coming up as well now, too. So we'll have to set the coffee and get the schnitzel on for those ones. But I mean, yeah, you can spread them out as much as you want, but I don't think teams want to. They want to pack them in early in the schedule so that teams aren't bitching and moaning about having to do international travel, you know, in the winter months where travel can be kind of slick and they're pushing for playoffs. That's why they want to get them out of the way. So I don't think they're going to change that. You're going to get them front loaded on the front end the first 2 months of the season, and then it's going to be business as usual because they don't want to give anybody an advantage or a disadvantage when it comes to, you know, playing for the playoffs. So that's why.
Jason Logan, always a voice of reason around here. Champagne problems for me. Too much football to watch. What the hell am I complaining about?
Get up early.
Yeah, well, I'm up early. It's just, you know, you got to get the kids out and give them an activity before I plunk down on the couch for 8 or 9 hours.
I work Sundays, so I get up early and I get a whole bunch of stuff done Sundays. And then that game's usually, I don't even get to watch the Sunday game or the England games because they're on. I just was able to catch the back end. I had Titans +4.5. I was hoping for the backdoor cover and Malik Willis not to take sacks. And every time Rich Eisen said, he shouldn't take a sack here, he absolutely took a sack there. So
inbounds too. I loved it.
Yeah,
I
was under. Run out of bounds, you dummy. Yeah,
I was on the under in that game. So there we go. Next international game, Dolphins versus Chiefs in Germany. That's November 5th, I think. Okay, so that is in the future. Let's talk a little bit about the present. The present is Monday Night Football game. Four total bets for this one. J-Lo and I, we are on opposite sides. I am on the side of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to take them to cover the -1.5 point spread. So Dallas has been absolutely fantastic at bouncing back. They are 10-1 against the spread after a loss since 2001. That bounce back ability was on full display in week 4 when they followed that disappointing loss to the Cardinals by obliterating the Patriots by 35. Last season, they also had a lot of impressive performances after a loss, including beating the Vikings by 37. They beat the Lions by 18. They had a 17-point playoff win versus Tampa Bay. So how do I like them to get the win? What is the path to victory? Well, the path to victory will go right through this Chargers defense. They will be able to exploit an LA defense that ranks 30th in yards allowed per play. The Chargers defense absolutely stinks. This is a team that allowed the Titans to score 27 points. They're 30th in yards per pass attempt allowed. Not great at getting pressure on the opposing quarterback. So I do think this sets up very nicely for Dak Prescott to have a bounce back game. And I like the Dallas Cowboys to bounce back. I'm not buying into the narratives here. All the narratives seem to be pushing towards the Chargers. Everyone's making fun of Dallas. Everyone's making fun of Dak Prescott after they got humiliated by the 49ers. You know, I'm not buying the whole Kellen Moore revenge game thing. Brandon Staley off a bye. I know J-Lo kind of likes that a little bit. But yeah, I like Dallas here, -1.5. J-Lo, we are in disagreement. Break down why you like the Chargers to cover this number tonight.
Yeah, and I'll say I am a Cowboys fan, so I'm not making fun of Dallas per se. I'm just being realistic about the situation, about this defense right now. So I like them too. The two is still out there at some places. Pinnacle, you can get the two. I actually bet them earlier in the week, +2.5, but it is trending down towards 1.5. So shop around and try to find that two out there. Justin Herbert is going to be the best QB this Dallas defense has faced in a fluffy Dallas defense that really built up a lot of its defensive numbers, really showed out against bad quarterbacks, you know, Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, and they got shown up by Joshua Dobbs. But, you know, they ran into Brock Purdy, very good quarterback last week. And now they take on Justin Herbert, who's that much better than Brock Purdy as well, too. So I'm just not buying into the Dallas defense. Austin Eckler, healthy for the Bolts after missing the last, three games for them, got injured in week one. You have a Dallas defense here that not only allows the second highest success rate per run, but also missing the Wolf Hunter, Leighton Vander Esch, their top run-stopping linebacker. He's out and injured, and we've seen some big splits when it comes to defending the ground game when he's out, and it's a bad situation here, especially with Eckler, the way that he can hurt you on the ground and through the air, and then also, too, tough situation, Dallas playing back-to-back road games. Of course, they got beat up in San Francisco last week. This is their third road game in 4 weeks, and they've had a hard time letting go of the San Francisco loss. The trash-talking between them and the Niners continued. You got to refocus here, guys. You have a big game. The LA Chargers? They've been on a bye week. They got right before that, 1-2 in a row. This could be their third win in a row. I think the way that we're viewing these teams right now is everyone's remembering the Chargers stumbling out of the blocks. I still think they're a playoff contending team, much better than what we're seeing. And then also, too, they've given Kellen Moore, the former offensive coordinator for Dallas, 2 weeks to dissect this offense. Knows all these players very well, but he practiced against Dan Quinn's defense every single day. He knows the ins and outs of that defense as well, too. And you give them a bye to get healthy and 2 weeks to prep. I like the Chargers here at home.
Chargers. Okay, so we agree to disagree. May the best man win. Now we take a trip to Prop City, my favorite prop of the game. I'm going to take Tony Pollard to go over 20.5 receiving yards. That one going off at -115 over at DraftKings. So the Chargers are allowing 54.4 receiving yards per game to running backs this season. We just saw Josh Jacobs go off for 81 receiving yards in their most recent game. And he's been a very reliable connection with catches on 86.3% of targets. That's 19 catches on 22 passes. And maybe this is a coincidence, but he was relied on heavily in the pass game in games after a loss last season. Totals of 55, 26, 109, and 61 in this spot. So maybe try to make things a little bit easier for Dak here with some short passes. Get Dak's confidence up. Tony Pollard over 20.5 receiving yards. My favorite prop for the game. J-Lo, your favorite prop for the game. What are you looking at? Oh, J-Lo, you're muted. You're on mute.
There we go. We're going to have some technical difficulties. Check it off the box. So I'm going Gerald Everett, tight end for the Chargers.
Let's go.
To go over his reception total. This market, ever since we started, like a minute and a half ago, this market has jumped from 2.5 to 3.5 at a lot of books, like since we started the show. It's up to, you can still get 2.5 -160, 166, I believe, at FanDuel right now. But there's a big move to 3.5 here. I got it -130. But with Everett, he's been a lot more involved in this offense since Mike Williams went down. He ran routes on 58% of dropbacks for Herbert the last time out. His numbers last time out, he only caught 2 balls for 9 yards. However, he had missed practice all week because of illness and then got into that game. He was sick. His numbers didn't really reflect how much he was involved in the offense. Now he's had 2 weeks to rest up and get healthy. It's not like he's dealing with an injury. So I think his stats and his prop is a bit skewed because of what we saw last week. It wasn't an injury. It was just illness that slowed him down. And the player projections out there, as high as 3.5 catches. And like you said, this prop market is moving to 3.5 out there now. And then the Cowboys defense has been roughed up by tight ends here the last couple games. We saw what George Kittle did, 3 catches for 3 touchdowns. And then Hunter Henry for the Pats, he had a nice game against them too as well 2 weeks ago. So like I said, within us starting the show, the market moved from 2.5 to 3.5 at a lot of books. There's still some 2.5 out there. 2.5 over -166 is the best price now on the over for Gerald Everett. So this gives you an idea of how quick lines move and why we kind of do a live show here.
Everett, okay, indeed. So there you have it, our 4 best bets for Monday Night Football. A couple different topics coming up, but let's check in on the live chat. Adam Reckamp says, yo. So yo, right back to you, Adam. Thank you for tuning in. We have Luis Alberto Bocio says, hello, Joe. I would like to know what the profitability of the plays in these videos are. I'm having a really good season in the NFL. I'm going to try to keep it going. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep going at this pace, but this show and any individual videos I do on the Covers YouTube channel for individual games, they all go on the official record. We're up over 22 units on the season so far. So yeah, I don't know if I'm going to keep going at that pace. Probably the best I've ever been doing 6 weeks into an NFL season. So we will try to keep it going. If you are in the live chat right now, guys, let us know what your favorite plays for the game are, whether it be spread, total, or player props. Let us know what you like. Call Me Kaz, what do you think of Brandon Cooks under 2.5 receptions? I don't feel strongly about that either way. I was looking at Brandon Cooks this morning, his props. I was surprised to see his production. Dallas isn't really getting too much out of him. J-Lo, any thoughts on Brandon Cooks and how he's been fitting into that offense here?
Yeah, I had, and I'm a Cowboys fan, so I was really excited. It was funny. He was one of the guys that I circled heading the season, was like, man, they should go get Brandon Cooks. And they did. And I expected him to be very complimentary because he can be a speedier guy or a guy they can use inside for bigger receivers. And I bet is over the first couple weeks and just didn't pan out. I know he was dealing with some injuries there. He is an older guy, so it takes him a little longer to kind of heal up. The projections for Cooks are sitting over 3, but, you know, 3.5, seeing a lot of 3.5 over 3.5 plus 120 plus 135. Just don't know if he gets there. And then the way that this Chargers defense gives up the run, I think Dallas is going to try to get a lot of Pollard going, a lot of stuff going on the ground and try to control the football. So, okay. I don't know if he gets there. The player projections aren't overwhelming in favor of an over for sure.
Yeah. Okay. We have Cover Kings weighing in. He likes a Herbert under 277.5 passing yards. And he likes a Tony Pollard to rack up some rushing yards over 68.5. Okay, J-Lo, let's get into a couple of these Monday segments. Let's start with a futures bet to make today. A futures bet to make today, one that I'm going to be making, or one that I did make, was the Bengals to go under their updated win total. It's at 8.5 at plus 132 over at FanDuel. So the Cincinnati Bengals have not been good. Even after 2 consecutive wins, this team has not been good. You look at the game yesterday against the Seahawks, Seattle outgained them by 167 yards. Seattle had the ball for almost 10 more minutes. Cincinnati was just 3 of 11 on third down. Even the game last week against the Cardinals won the yards per play battle, but they turned it over 3 times, so they're not going to win that game. Even their win over the Rams, once again, they lost the yards per play battle, but they benefited from some turnovers in that game. So, as we know, obviously a lot of luck involved with turnovers. So, they're at 3 wins now. They need 6 more wins if they hit the over on this. And they have one of the hardest schedules remaining in the NFL. Look at who they have on deck. They got the 49ers off a loss, followed by the Bills, followed by the Texans, who can be a bit sneaky, followed by the Ravens. Who knows what you'll get from the Steelers? Then they play the Jags, who are playing well again. Then at the end of the season, they play Kansas City in Kansas City. Then they close out the year, week 18, against Cleveland. So, yeah, I picked the Cincinnati Bengals to win the Super Bowl. I don't think they're getting to 9 wins. So I'll take the under at the plus money, plus 132 for the Cincinnati Bengals. J-Lo, what futures bet are you placing today?
All right. And I had Seahawks, too. And they had like 3 chances to get inside of that point spread.
It was annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I'm going with Jacksonville to win the AFC South. This one is minus 150, which is it's a little bit lower than actually what their preseason odds were. They were minus 155 to as high as minus 175. Not a whole lot has changed here. We see Jacksonville picking up some momentum. They've got 3 wins in a row. And you look at the rest of the division. You have the Colts down to a backup in Gardner Minshew. The Titans potentially down to a backup if Ryan Tannehill's ankle can't get right on the bye week. And I always said he's a bad hit away from them starting a Malik Willis or a rookie quarterback. And then Houston looks like their biggest threat. Already beat them this year. They're not going to catch them off guard. I still think the other shoe is going to drop for Houston. But on this 3-game winning streak for the Jaguars, they're number 8 in EPA per play. So the offense is starting to get going here. They're the Calvin Ridley connection, the Achane connection. Lawrence with the knee injury this week on the short week against New Orleans. It says he's going to be okay. I'm banking on him being okay. And then their defense, number 9 overall in EPA allowed per play. So playing some pretty stout defense and doing a good job against some good teams too. They went toe-to-toe with Kansas City. Slowed them down to a grinder of a game, and then they beat Buffalo and was able to check that offense as well too. And then they finish off the year with a pretty light slate. Their last 3 games of the season, Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Tennessee, all winnable. So I think they win this division. Minus 150 seems like a big time discount for a team that I have very high in my power ratings.
Okay, on to everyone's favorite segment for the Monday show. Do they actually suck? And usually this is an opportunity for me to slam a team or a coach or a player. I think the first team that we pointed on this one was the New York Giants. And I pointed out that, yes, they do actually suck. That one has worked out pretty well. We talked about Sean Payton in this segment as well. That one has worked out pretty well. The show you weren't on with us, J-Lo, I talked about Arthur Smith. And how I think he sucks, that Falcons offense not playing very well right now. So we're hitting on a couple of these. So like I said, usually a chance for me to slam someone, but now I'm going to go to bat for a team that I think most people assume sucks. One of the biggest punching bags in the NFL, the Las Vegas Raiders. Dare I say, the Las Vegas Raiders are an average football team. They do not suck. They are a couple tiers above the teams that actually suck. Check out what they've done so far this season. They've only been destroyed once. That was a game in Buffalo. That was a tough spot for them. I think that was week 2, Buffalo coming off that loss versus the Jets, a tough loss. And over time, you take a look at a couple of their other losses. They fought back pretty good against the Chargers with their backup in. Close loss. They didn't allow the Chargers to score a single point in the second half of that game. Turnovers killed them in a close loss versus the Steelers. But look at who the Raiders have on deck here. 3 of their next 4 games are absolutely winnable games. They're a favorite at the Bears coming up in Chicago this weekend. And then they have the Giants and Jets both coming to 10. They will be favored over the Giants. Who knows about that Jets game? That will be interesting. But offensive line providing pretty good protection for whoever the quarterback's going to be. So, J-Lo, I'm not saying that the Raiders are good. I'm not saying that they're even going to compete to get into the playoffs by any means, but I don't think they're the punching bag people make them out to be. I know Josh McDaniels, it could be a comedy of errors, mistake after mistake, and he ultimately does hold them back a little bit. But what do you think of my case that the Raiders don't actually suck and that they are an average team?
No, they suck. They suck. They just suck.
Okay.
They suck. I'll go down the list here. So right now, I mean, even at when they were healthy, their QB situation wasn't great. Now it's really, really bad because you got Jimmy G potentially missing time with a back injury, and backs are a weird and tricky injury to have. They play this bend but don't break defense where they protect against the deep pass, allow everything soft underneath. That doesn't do this defense any favors. They've given up a ton of TOP. Teams are able to move the chains against them just slowly and grinding down. And that defense is going to get worn out. Penalties, they're not a well-disciplined team either. 9th most penalty yards taken or given, depending on either side of the ball. And then you bring up Josh McDaniels. Bad coaching. Just terrible, terrible bad coaching. And beyond playing Chicago this week and possibly not facing Justin Fields, you've got Detroit. So you got Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell, a very well-coached offense. for the Lions. Then you've got Brian Daboll. So despite as bad as the Giants are, Brian Daboll is still a very good coach. You've got Robert Saleh, and despite what you said in your tweet there about him going after the quarterbacks that he played, but a good coach. All right. And then you've got Mike McDaniel. And then you got to figure out that Miami scheme. And then you got Andy Reid, possibly the best coach in the NFL right now. So they are out coached in everything beyond Chicago. They have a bye in week 13, and then they play a 4 games in 21-day span that passes over Christmas and New Year. So that's a tough road to navigate for guys on and off the field because of the holidays. You're cramming a bunch of games in there. They are a sucky team. It starts with a coach. The quarterback situation sucks. This defense is going to buckle. The penalties hurt them even more. They suck. Suck, suck, suck.
All right.
Agreed. And I've got them like 20. What did I say? Have 20, 25th. They might be able to mix stuff up here with Chicago. They might be able to mix some stuff up here with Chicago. But like Chicago is one of the rare teams that I actually have behind them in the power ratings. So
that's not just disagreeing with me. That's stuffing my argument into a locker. That's why I like having you on the show. You come in here and he goes up 13 bullet points of why I'm wrong, how the Raiders actually do suck. So we will agree to disagree on that one. And we'll see how the rest of the season shakes out here for the Raiders. But before we get going, last segment here, a quick look at week 7, some lines that stand out to us. Thursday Night Football, Jags, Saints. It's a Saints game. If you've been watching the show, what do you think I'll be betting on that one? It's at 40 right now. It was at 42 last night, so we missed the best of the number there. But the Saints have gone under in every single game this season. Falcons, Bucks, it's a low total. I like the under 39. I kind of like the go to that for the Raiders again, -3 at Chicago. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Rams, -3 hosting the Steelers. And Dolphins, Eagles over 52.5. I like that quite a bit. The Eagles secondary quite beat up. The Dolphins defense, they didn't look too good last time they played a good offense, did they, in the Buffalo Bills? So I think that'll be a high scoring one in prime time. J-Lo, anything on the week 7 board stand out to you?
Yeah, usually I've got a few, but there's between the injuries and the weird situational spots. Like I do like the Jags. And now that it was at pick last night. It's gone down to +1 right now. The Trevor Lawrence injury with his knee is the kind of the thing that's anchoring this right now. And it is a short week for them, but it's also a really tough situational spot for them because they spent 2 weeks in London and then they were back home to play the Colts. And they talked about how, and their players were saying like, my bones are aching more than they ever have just because of all the travel. Mm-hmm. And now they have a short week where they got to travel to New Orleans and play again. So that's kind of there as well too. Everything sounds like Trevor Lawrence is going to be okay and going to play. And I'm very, very high on Jacksonville, especially over their last 3 games. The one bet that I did get down, and we've seen this one move significantly, is I got under 40.5. It was as high as like 41.5 when it opened, was Cleveland and Indianapolis. And it's down to 39.5 right now. I don't know if I want to jump on the under at that point, but I'm going to wait. I would say if you haven't got the under in this one, I mean, you've got a Cleveland defense that is just phenomenal. Best defense out there by a long shot. Then you got an Indianapolis team and led by Minshew with an offense that is not meant for Gardner Minshew. Two really good running backs and Zach Moss and Jonathan Taylor. And then Cleveland's going to run the ball as well too. And I won't poo-poo Indy's defense. It's been serviceable. So I expect the under in that one. Maybe wait for some positive Watson news because I don't think he moves it too much. Maybe Watson comes back and this goes back up to 41, and I would still go back on the under on that. So, but really everything else, like we had such a wonky week and a lot of the injuries are you know, I'm really interested to see how the Chargers do tonight because they'll take on Kansas City next week, and that's going to be a pretty exciting game. So really want to see. I believe the Chargers are able to get right, and I think they're for real. So we'll see with that one. I think the look ahead was like Kansas City -6. So we'll see where that officially opens for week 7.
Minshew mania, not running wild in 2023. Okay, J-Lo, before we let you go, what do you have going on at Covers this week that people can check out?
Oh boy. Well, Spot Bets is up there. So I just did my weekly Spot Bets, just situational angles. I like to fold those into the handicapping. I'll have NFL underdogs. Fingers crossed that the Chargers can save me tonight. I had a pretty rough go of it. It's Seattle and Tennessee. And then one thing that I did last week that we're doing new, and we're going to do it every week as long as the weather permits, is the weather watch. We're going to look at some of the weather, the wind, the rain, and stuff like that, how it's going to impact games. That's going to be a big factor here over the next few months of the season.
Very, very, very important to be checking the weather. I was at the start of the week last week, I was loving the over in the Vikings-Bears game. I didn't pull the trigger on it because I checked the weather and said, hey, it's going to be very windy in this game. So I thought, hey, Justin Jefferson out too, might as well stay away. The game easily went under, so I was very proud of that one. Okay, J-Lo, thank you again for joining us. Best of luck with your prop bet tonight. But not your bet on the Chargers because I am on the other end of it. But best of luck with your other bets. Good luck with your handicapping this week, and we will catch you again next Monday.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Yes, sir. Indeed. 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 Okay. Let's get right into it. Shift gears over to college football. Let's bring in our guy down there in sunny Las Vegas. Brad, how are you making out today?
Doing well. I like how you always say sunny Las Vegas because it pretty much always is sunny Las Vegas.
Yeah, I don't know why I say that. Just a weird habit. Whenever I go there, it is nice and sunny, though. So happy to see that is continuing into the fall here for you. Okay, so you have two best bets that we're going to get into momentarily. But quickly, let's kind of recap a little bit about what we saw over the weekend. Of course, a couple big headlines here. Washington beats Oregon in one of the best games that you're ever going to see. Washington now up to plus 800 on the national championship odds board. They're tied with Florida and Ohio State for, I think it's the third best odds there on the odds board. So what was your big takeaway from that game?
Well, number one, I mean, as a, you put on the fan hat and remove the gambling aside, obviously one of the biggest games of the year lived up to the billing. A very exciting back and forth game that went down to the very final play. So as a college football fan, you love to see college football deliver, especially, I mean, obviously the sport is very southern, regionally speaking. Midwest would be the second region, not necessarily Pacific Northwest. So it, from that perspective, I was glad to see that that type of performance. As far as the gambling perspective, obviously, I say this a lot. Just because it's the biggest game of the week doesn't mean it's the best value bet. We had the game pushed and the over hit by, what, a point and a half? So I think that's a lesson a little bit that needs to be learned there. From a game perspective, I thought Oregon graded out a little bit better than Washington. But obviously, you know, Oregon didn't convert on the high leverage fourth down situations. Dan Lanning's very aggressive for the analytics crowd. They love him. And from the game management, old school people probably don't like them. They probably would have wished that Oregon would have kicked some field goals there. They probably would have went, came away with a win, but, that's been his MO the first 2 years. And, I didn't really change either team's power rating that much. And that's, you know, pretty much to expect it when a game pushes.
Okay. So, big story number two, big spotlight game on Saturday night, USC Notre Dame. Caleb Williams was not good. He threw three interceptions in that game. USC loses their first game of the season. Williams has now plummeted down the Heisman Futures odds board. He's been, you know, the favorite for almost forever. Then we saw Penix the past couple weeks start to make up some ground on him. But Caleb Williams, seventh best odds now at 20-1 over at DraftKings. Penix Jr., minus 140 favorite. A handful of games left of the season, obviously. Any way Caleb Williams can get back into this race?
No, I think he lost the Heisman Trophy on Saturday night. He was going to be always up against it because we've only seen one repeat winner of the Heisman. It's just they're going to pick apart your game and you're going to be under a much different scrutiny than anybody else. So that's the reason why I made, you know, 10 Heisman bets in the offseason and Caleb Williams wasn't one of them. I will say this, though. Michael Penix being favored over the field, I'll tell you what, that's a little pricey as far as I'm concerned. I don't think he should be favored over the field, to be honest with you. So if you have someone like a J.J. McCarthy or somebody else that you think, a Dylan Gabriel, that you like, I think there's some slight value there because I would not have Penix greater than 50% chance. But I get the big picture, though. Caleb Williams throwing three picks against Notre Dame in a very big spotlight game, lost to Heisman.
Okay, another big story occurred on Friday night. I got to ask you about it. A couple of weeks ago, you said the party was over for Colorado when they were going into conference play. 100% right on that, Brad. So what was it, a 29-point lead that they blew? So what do you make of Colorado and Deion Sanders after that performance on Friday night?
Yeah, I wish I would have had Stanford live money line. I think it was up to 70-1 when the Cardinal were down the 29-0 in the game, but I mean, that's a devastating loss for Colorado. Not only, you know, from the national media spotlight sort of thing. But I mean, this is a team that had realistic chances of getting a bowl game, which would have been a tremendous season for them coming off a one-win season. Now you look at the rest of the schedule. Now they're on a bye this week, but their remaining five games, Joe, Colorado's going to be an underdog in all five games. I mean, that's how good the Pac-12 is. Their easy games against Arizona State and Stanford, the two worst teams in the Pac-12, are done and over with. You thought a game maybe against Arizona was going to be at home, going to be easy. What's Arizona doing the last 3 weeks? Almost upset Washington, almost upset USC, and then went out on the road and beat Washington State 44-6. So what was perceived to be your easiest game down the stretch isn't going to be that easy. In fact, Colorado's going to be a dog. So I'd be very surprised if this team got the 6 wins at this point. I'll be honest with you. I think I'd be surprised if they win another game. There's your hot take.
Damn, there we go. I like it. Okay, last question before we get into your picks here. So we take a look at the top of the National Championship Futures Odds Board. Georgia and Michigan neck and neck. Then we have a bit of a drop-off to Washington, Ohio State, Florida State, Penn State, Oklahoma, Texas, Alabama, and then Oregon 25-1. Then you have a pretty big drop-off down to North Carolina. So my question to you, who do you have number one in your power ratings?
I have Michigan. Number one, and now by a little bit of margin, a couple points ahead of Georgia. So that it's newsworthy on this front. I've been doing power ratings 10 years. I've only had 5 different programs ever number one in my power ratings. Obviously Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU was in there, and obviously Georgia the last couple of years. The new number one is the Michigan Wolverines, deservedly so. I know that they haven't played the toughest of schedules. You can't control once a schedule's set who you play. You can control how you play. And the last 3 weeks, what Michigan's done to Big Ten competition is elite. It looks very similar to what Alabama and Georgia have been doing to college football the last decade. So Michigan's number one, not only because of their performance, impressive performances the last 3 weeks, but Georgia, obviously not a very good performance against Vanderbilt. Georgia's only covered one game. And breaking news, just before the show came on here, Brock Bowers, the All-American tight end, generational type talent at tight end, ankle surgery for him. He's going to miss the next 4 to 6 weeks for Georgia. He is a rare non-quarterback. It's worth about a point to the point spread. So you got to downgrade Georgia a little bit further.
Okay, there we go. Wolverines, number one for Brad. Okay, so let's get into a couple of picks here. Ones that you hit the click button on early in the week. Let's start off with USC. They're favored by 6.5. Versus Utah, what do you think? A good bounce back spot for them?
Yeah, I know this won't be popular considering the U.S. I gave out USC and they got their teeth kicked down their throat against Notre Dame, to say the least. But I think a couple fronts. Number one, you mentioned bounce back. I do expect a bounce back. We mentioned Caleb Williams lost to Heisman. If he's truly an elite competitor off his worst game of his career, you would expect him to bounce back in a big way. Number two, the Notre Dame game. While Notre Dame deserved to win, Notre Dame deserved to cover, obviously. Not sure that you look at the box score that should have been a 28-point Notre Dame win when USC was -5 in turnovers, got stopped on downs twice, and then also gave up a kick return touchdown. I mean, the reality was with all that going on, it was an 11-point game with 10 minutes left prior to the kick return touchdown. You thought USC might have a shot at that point to come back. So misleading final there. And also, let's get in front of the line move. I'm guessing this line closes 7. 7's a key number last I checked. Let's go ahead and lay 6.5 here with the Trojans.
Okay, next up, big game, Penn State, Ohio State. We have a total of 47. What do you think for this one?
Going under. Main reason is I think it's going to close a couple points lower than this. We saw the market already hit this a little bit this morning. Let's talk from a personnel aspect. We got the number one and number two defenses in the country as far as yards per play allowed. So two elite defenses. And then on the opposite side, you got two offenses that leave a little bit to be desired. Penn State doesn't push the ball down the field. In fact, they're dead last coming into last week as far as, deep ball throws. Dead last out of 133 teams in the country. Ohio State, a lot of people are buying Kyle McCord. I'm not. You want to talk about changing narratives. If Notre Dame's secondary player didn't drop the interception on that late drive, what's the perception of Kyle McCord? I think there'd still be some questions there. Then also, look, these two teams have played pretty much a game apiece as far as big-time games. And what'd you see in those games? Penn State against Iowa, Ohio State against Notre Dame. We saw two scores with a combined score of 31 total points. This screams to me, Joe, 17, 14, 20 to 17.
Okay, I like it. Before we let you go, we're going to put you on the spot. A question from the chat. No official pick required, obviously. SG3 asks, question for Brad. Auburn laid an egg last week, however, been bullish on them ATS most of the year. Do you like them at home versus Ole Miss?
I did. I bet that game. Let's go ahead and hopefully get a +7 out of there. I took 7.5, but I will take Auburn +7 there. They played a tough schedule. It was a bad performance last week, but I do like them as a home underdog this week, and I have made that bet personally.
There we go. Auburn. Okay, so that's it, Brad. Great segment today. Of course, we will have you back on Thursday to discuss more of the bigger games taking place this upcoming weekend. So thanks again for joining us, and best of luck with your handicapping this week.
All right. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay, guys, if you're just tuning into this show and if you missed the Monday night football picks that we gave out off the top, let's get into those. I like the Cowboys to cover 10-1 against the spread after a loss since the start of 2021. Great bounce back team. The Dallas Cowboys are a great regular season team. We know what they do in the playoffs, but they're really good in the regular season. And my favorite prop, Pollard, over 20.5 receiving yards. And J-Lo was on the opposite side of that game. He likes the Chadges. And I think he took, what, Everett over 2.5? There we go. Producer Mick, over 2.5 receptions, -145. So let's wrap things up with this. The Jackass of the Week Award. This is the first time I'll be doing this. Maybe I'll do it occasionally. But the Jackass of the Week Award goes to Jets head coach Robert Saleh. Did you catch the press conference that Saleh put on after the game, after the Jets won a very lucky game, a game they were losing for 99% of it? He said, "We've embarrassed every QB that we faced this season." Something along the lines of, we faced a lot of good quarterbacks and we've embarrassed them all. Does he not understand the irony in that comment that they've embarrassed every QB that they faced so far this season? First of all, that's not true. Dak Prescott had a great game against them. Mac Jones beat them in a game where he didn't throw an interception and he wasn't sacked. And Russell Wilson had a pretty good stat line against them as well. But the irony is here that Saleh should be an expert in embarrassing quarterback play, because embarrassing quarterback play is what has been holding back the Jets organization for many, many years now. Sam Darnold right into Zach Wilson. The Jets offense has scored 7 touchdowns so far this season. And Saleh is out here bragging about embarrassing every quarterback they face, which isn't true. And the team has a 3-3 record. How about trying to finish a season with a winning record, Robert, before you're going out slamming the likes of Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, and Josh Allen? A little bit of humility would be nice after yet again another lucky win for the Jets. And the whole funny thing about this is, remember the Jets were so upset about being disrespected by Sean Payton, who insulted Nathaniel Hackett? They threw Nathaniel Hackett a little parade because they beat the Broncos last week. When's the last time you heard a really good coach come out after at a press conference? When's the last time you heard Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, Sean McVay brag about embarrassing an opponent? It's bullshit from Robert Saleh. 3-3. What is he, 12 games under 500 for his career? So yeah, Jets go on a bye. 3-3. It's better than everyone expected them to start without Aaron Rodgers, of course. But my Jackass of the Week award goes to Robert Saleh. Okay, that does it for the Monday edition of Before You Bet. Guys, if you like the show, do me a favor. If you're winning with me, hit that subscribe button right down there. A lot of great content here on the Covers YouTube channel. That does it for today's show. I will be right back with you guys on Thursday. We'll see you then. Same time, same place. Best of luck with your bets tonight. Woo!